in the heart of the beast. If you look into the center of something and you look at it really deeply, that's the place that's giving it its pulse, that's also the place of change.
Puppets bring different emotions. Puppets bring different ways of people being able to express their thoughts and their needs.
All of us have had the experience of connecting with the community and with each other as artists in a way that typically just doesn't happen.
Whatever that mask is, I have to become that for the performance to be powerful. So there's a lot of transformation.
Being an artist, a visual artist, and being a community artist are two different things.
I tried to infuse the teaching with some of the principles that I think Heart of the Beast was originally founded on.
We are artists here. We are primarily artists, but we are also artists who realize that we are part of a community, we're part of a nation, we're part of a world, we're part of a living planet.
Puppet and Mask Theater has been a part of human cultures for thousands of years. It is a powerful tradition that can lead to a transformation of our deepest selves, or bring to light a new way of understanding a social or political topic. Puppets or masked characters often speak the hidden truths or comment on social taboos. In the Heart of the Beast, Puppet and Mask Theater of Minneapolis, Minnesota, has created its own unique style by merging these ancient art forms with community, story, ritual, and pageantry. Artistic director Sandy Spieler has been with the theater from its early days.
I think that we have been looked to as an organization that will go deeply into issues and will walk alongside them in looking at these issues. And I like to think that when we look at what it is that's affecting us, that we look deeply into it, that we look at where it came from, how it's affecting us now, that we look at possibilities for the future. I mean, maybe someone would call it a metaphorical look or a mythological look, but it's also an examination of how it affects us in our deepest places. And maybe even the name In the Heart of the Beast is a good way of looking at that, because if you look into the center of something and you look at it really deeply, that's the place that's giving it its pulse, that's also the place of change. And so when we say that we are in the heart of the beast, I think it is stepping into that place and that deep investigation of these issues, which are oftentimes looked at more on their surfaces.
In the Heart of the Beast, Puppet and Mask Theater began during the political activism of the early 1970s and is grounded in the urban neighborhood in which it began. Sandy Spieler shares her influences and experiences.
I've actually had very little formal training or school training. I've come to it mostly through osmosis and interning and some kind of innate vision. I had already been drawing images of puppeteers and mask wearers without ever having been inspired by any work that I had ever seen. And also, I was trained in a ritual lifestyle coming from a ministerial family. I think that the kind of idea of liturgy or the process of living a year through a pattern of the seasons and festivals that would mark certain time periods and what you do at those time periods and how you turn and rites of passage. And so I came out of an ancestry that dealt with some of those ways of thinking.
Working within the Heart of the Beast since 1991, puppeteer, mask maker, and teacher Anna Stanley is also a main stage performer.
And it's always surprising to me because I don't really feel like I create it. I feel like it comes through me. And sometimes they're very distinct. Native American is very clear. African part of me is very clear. And then sometimes they're combined. I think they're very sacred art forms. I mean, I think they are very definitely tied into spiritual ritual. I think that's what comes out, is that part of us that really has very little place in this society. It helps us continue to be connected to the divine.
So on one hand, we are artists, And so we support the nurturing work of artists, the professional work of artists. And that is to go as deeply as you can into whatever it is that you're doing, and to develop a sight and that process of divining and listening closely into what it is that's affecting us as individuals and as communities of people.
Esther Ure began in theater arts and has performed with the company since 1980.
So over the years, I mean, it changes because a lot of times I'm there as someone to support other people's work or other people's visions, and sometimes I'm there to create stories that come out of my own cultural heritage. You can break open the heart. You can make cracks in the imagination. You can have many people experiencing one thing at the same time. And I think that there's a lot of power in that.
In 1973, in the basement of the Walker Church in South Minneapolis, a small group of people began the Powderhorn Puppet Theater, named in honor of the Powderhorn neighborhood where it began. 6 years later, the name was changed to In the Heart of the Beast Puppet and Mask Theater. Although it has grown into an internationally renowned theater, its roots are deep in the community, bringing people together from all walks of life.
I was not here when it actually began. It started out of a doctoral project of David O'Fallon as he was looking at the importance of theater in community and community arts. And he created a performance, which he did on the 4th of July in Powderhorn Park, called A Boat, A Boot, A Book, A Ball of Yarn. And it was actually done under the auspices of another theater company in town at that time called the Alive and Trucking Theater. And David was very, very much interested in how people can come together and the act of creating art and doing theater. And I find it interesting because that really has been the essential core of what we've done all these years.
Trained in visual art and American Indian studies, Julie Castigar-Bawada never dreamed she would become a performer. Now, since 1989, she performs, writes stories, builds puppets, and teaches.
When you speak of Heart of the Beast, each person's experience is different. Whichever area a show or a piece is being worked on, I like the idea that it's telling a story from a perspective or from a voice that isn't always in the media, in the world, a voice that isn't always easily heard or easily have a platform. So sometimes that's environmental issues and sometimes social justice issues, but it is always the opportunity for someone to speak who may not have a chance to speak.
Well, I came shortly after that time. That was the 4th of July. They did something a little bit earlier in the fall, and sometime in that winter, there was an advertisement for puppet workshops. And I was connected with another theater that was called Circle of the Witch. You know that it was a feminist theater. I was tangentially involved, and I was making this huge plaster sculpture of an old woman. And one of the people who was working on that show had gone to Goddard College in Vermont. And she said, "Oh, this really reminds me of the work of the Bread and Puppet Theater. There's someone who's starting a theater in the basement of Walker Church that has been somewhat influenced by the work of the Bread and Puppet Theater. You should go."
For myself, I love the form. I think the form is a really powerful form and delightful form. Personal reasons why I work with Heart of the Beast, I think many of us come from many different places, especially now. It extends out into so many different people and so many different places. And that's one of the richnesses of it, is that so many people bring so many different things to the table.
And so I went, I started working, I built my first two puppets. In that same summer, we heard that Bread and Puppet was going to end, which of course it didn't, but we heard it was going to be the last circus that actually they had to move away from Goddard College. And so a number of us piled into a car, and we drove out there all night long to see what they called the last circus, and it took my breath away. It brought together all of these things that were a part of me, my love of sculpture, visual arts, movement, and people coming together about things that matter in this world in a way that's celebratory and can look deeply at a lot of different layers, which is what I think one of the strengths of puppet theater is.
Originally from Peru, artist, puppeteer, and mask maker, Gustavo Buara came from Philadelphia to work within the Heart of the Beast and has been with them for 5 years.
The Heart of the Beast gave me the opportunity to sharp my vision coming from a Latino community. Give me the confidence to raise a voice and then understanding that my voice and my community voice is not unheard. It's something that we need to share, not just to keep it in the shy area of our unconscious.
So we came back, and I was already starting to work with the theater. We were starting to do little puppet shows with just one curtain. Three of us would go to senior high-rises and daycare centers and all of these different places around the city to do free puppet shows. And then with the energy and a little bit of money that we had, we started to do more experimental adult work as well, where we would be working with a team of maybe 15 to 20 people. At that time, we were in the basement at Walker Church, just a couple blocks away from where we are now. So we were deeply connected in the life of this community.
Company manager and puppeteer Paul Robinson has been with the company for 15 years. He is also the head coordinator of the annual May Day Parade and Festival.
Puppets bring different emotions. Puppets bring different ways of people being able to express their thoughts and their needs. It kind of depends on the puppeteer that's creating this piece, on how am I going to get that across to my audience. For me, I end up doing Norwegian folktales in puppet form with rod puppets. And trolls are basically, they were grotesque. Some of them had 10, 12, 13 heads or more. Or they may be big because they get angry, they grow. But then when they're okay, they're normal size. How am I going to make them understand?
We had this little corner in the basement of Walker Church. And we were growing. I think people really enjoyed us being there, but it was also apparent that perhaps we needed more room. And I think maybe the final straw is when I made the Tree of Life puppet that's now used every year on May Day, and I was making the branches that come out of the head of that puppet and the hands. And so I had this clay that was all over the floor of the big basement room there, and they said, you know, you guys need another space.
Art not only contributes to a community and society with shows and performances, but also can help change a neighborhood, with its makers leading as an example of what a healthy community can be like. During the next years, In the Heart of the Beast Puppet and Mask Theater would move two more times before finding its current home at the Avalon Theater, a 1937 Art Deco cinema that fell into disrepair. The company moved in 1988 and began building renovations in 1990.
So then we looked in earnest for a space that would be better, and Lucinda Anderson, who was the administrative director at that time, was really instrumental in a space search and really is the one who brought us into this place where we are now. This place had been a family movie theater, which then became probably one of the most famous pornography houses in town. And it was in horrible shape. I can't even begin to tell you. But a good, sturdy building. And so we moved in and announcing it on the marquee, Bye-bye Porn, Hello Puppets.
Diane O'Donnell, a community member, remembers the corner of East Lake Street and 15th Avenue South before In the Heart of the Beast was there.
It was a scuzzy, scuzzy corner. People would cross the street rather than walk by it. People were harassed. Women were harassed as they went by. It was just a real blight. Some of us would take turns to try to keep a presence of marching in front of it, picketing against it, trying to get it closed. What they create in there is just so much beauty. And it's in such contrast to the way it used to be, you know. People no longer are afraid to walk that corner or that block.
It was called the Avalon Theater. And I had a dream at that time that there was this place where there were just lines and lines and lines of people who were ravaged, war-torn, on crutches, being carried in stretchers, waiting to come into this place, into some place to be healed. And it was right at the time when we were getting this building, and we had looked up what was the significance of Avalon, and Avalon was the name of an island in England. It plays out in the Arthurian legends, and it was the place where people would go who were wounded in battle, and they would be carried across a still lake by a silent woman to this place. And as they traveled in there and entered the island, their wounds would be healed. And their life on that island then, a sort of spirits, would give strength and healing to people who were on the other side. The island was often invisible unless you were carried there by this very still boat ride across this very still lake.
You have traveled far, my friends. You have bought a ticket to the world beneath the surface. Are you thirsty?
Are you thirsty?
But at the center of that island was a fountain. And if you could drink from that water, it was the water of life that, of course, brings a certain kind of immortality. So here we are on Lake Street, this path that connects the Mississippi River to the lakes. And so who are we in this building called the Avalon, this kind of sanctuary here? And at the middle of it was a fountain, actually, that was broken, that we put a sign on it that said, out of order. And it wasn't really until in this last 10 years when we did a whole series of work on water called Invigorate the Common Well, where we took this fountain and mythologized it, doing a number of shows looking at different water issues.
That means that I could get 1,800 glasses of water from the tap for the same amount that I paid for that bottle of water?
Education plays an important role in the company's activities. Combining the arts of puppetry, mask making, storytelling, and performance for educational purposes, the company is well known for bringing their skills and talents into classrooms and community venues.
The other end is that we are teachers, we're midwives. We go into communities and we teach the technique of making puppets and using puppets and the theater of puppetry, as well as sometimes the philosophies or the issues that are being looked at in either community places or in schools. Sometimes we get invited for a very particular reason, say to do a water residency. Sometimes it's about a social studies course, or sometimes it really is just, yeah, we want to do puppets.
As a teaching artist, I think I use the form to also teach values, to teach kindness, to teach nonviolence. For me personally, that's a really important part of the teaching, of the passing it on to children. I tried to infuse the teaching with some of the principles that I think Heart of the Beast was originally founded on. Kindness, compassion, looking towards a more peaceful world, looking towards a healthier community.
I do work as a storyteller. I'm American Indian. I'm Ojibwe. Often when I go to school, some kids don't even know that American Indians are in the present, that we're not in the past in a teepee or a wigwam and riding a horse. So the opportunity to tell and teach through those stories that celebrate and honor the American Indian culture and educate about it is really what I'm passionate about.
In the Heart of the Beast Puppet and Mask Theater holds its annual May Day Parade and Festival every year on the first Sunday in May in the Powderhorn neighborhood. This is an event that invites the public to participate, beginning with community meetings in February and workshops in March and April. The May Day Parade and Festival is a one-day celebration addressing global issues with a local heart.
And in between is the melding of this professional work with the big community kind of work where everybody can enter. That work is probably most obviously seen in May Day, where we have a team of artists who work as a core, and then there is a structure, a permeable structure, that invites hundreds and hundreds of people to be involved, and that there is a brainstorm process that really looks at what is happening in our world and bringing it to the very local kind of connection.
What I think when I be in the process of May Day, I feel like I put my abilities, skills, brain, heart, soul, and the ideas coming from the community meetings. So artists become like a brush of the painter. We use our talents or skills to be a kind of canvas where the ideas of the community become alive.
I love May Day because it's always very topical, and because we don't really have usually the meetings about May Day until February, so it really is at the pulse of what's happening.
Our typical May Day is a celebration. It's a celebration of spring, and it's a celebration of people and the celebration of the world. We basically show it two different ways. We share that through the celebration of the parade, which tells the story, and then we also celebrate in Powderhorn Park through telling it again, that story, through ceremony and pageantry. Also, on top of that, within the celebration, we celebrate with food and we celebrate with music and performance, and we celebrate with everyone just coming and having a wonderful time.
So we've had these teams of people who've already developed initiatives for May Day of how can a big art event help further actual living changes. Because May Day, it's a vision, it's a stepping into a vision, it's a concretizing of that, because we walk on the street, we enter into the question that we have at hand with puppets, with costumes. We do a ceremony in which we enact a vision of a life that we wish we could see. But at the end of the day, it's art.
Art, I believe, is an effective agent for social change in that it addresses parts of a human being in ways that are outside of how we generally are touched in our lives.
And so in that way, that art can really energize people or move people or make a turning, then it's really powerful in terms of sustaining change. But if it can be partnered with that long, hard, constant work that people do day after day after day with initiatives, going door to door and bringing people together, and if those things can be partnered, wow.
I think they keep imagination alive. Ceremony and ritual, which is pretty much absent in this culture. I think they present a new image of art as opposed to the artists in their private little studio doing their private little thing. So if I'm building a mask, it doesn't matter how beautiful it is if the performers can't use it. So I'm always thinking of who has to use it, how long it has to be used. It's just not my own personal little thing. I think that that's real critical, and I think it exposes the children of the community to an art form that is one of the oldest in the world.
The power and magic of Puppet and Mask Theater invites participants and viewers to experience and communicate with both human and non-human characters, to go deep into another's being and connect with oneself.
I think that also from early on, I've been so aware of the world as not just a human world, and not just the world of us sitting here talking or reading the newspaper or this surface thing, but deeper layers of the world. Of course, there's the sun and the water and the bugs and the worms and the birds and all of the beings that live here with the humans. And in puppet theater, those characters can be equals.
For me, each performance is like a prayer. I mean, we have to transform. We have to become whatever that mask is. I have to become that for the performance to be powerful. So you are the wolf.
Our puppets that we make have a purpose. They have a meaning. They have a life. They have breath that when the puppeteer ends up putting their own bodily energy into that middle pole of a three-pole puppet or into that hand or arm, that puppet comes alive.
They have a voice. They have a life together, and you can see it. And so you actually enter the skin of those beings. So sometimes I think about it that the process of compassion is often saying, like, how can you really listen in or almost enter the skin of another and understand that? And that's what you do in puppet theater. You enter the skin. You have to let your own ego go away so that you can hold this other life and have it breathe. Have it breathe.
In the Heart of the Beast, Puppet and Mask Theater uses the art of transformation in its stories and ceremonial art. The company's work has spread into the community and been carried into the world by the many it has touched.
Heart of the Beast basically taught me forms, but they allowed me to bring my own content. And that's another part of its power, is that it's open to all kinds of visions and, you know, ways of seeing the world.
Heart of the Beast gave me the opportunity to see myself in the mirror of giving back to the community what I learned about puppetry, about stories. And I think this is part of the ritual of renew the energy of the community. That made me feel so amazing.
Heart of the Beast taught me how to and how important it is to tell stories. I never dreamed I'd do that, and it's something that I really love to do. I feel proud about the work and really grateful about the work.
But I think also within the human world, we all have so many different psychological layers. We have our ancestry, we have our really dark sides, we have our really funny sides. And it's almost like you could split yourself into all these different personalities and suddenly have puppets for each one of them for a moment when you converse with your own self. The layers that are possible in this kind of theater that go beyond the human language, that's what attracts me. That's what keeps me here, has kept me here for nearly 40 years.
Voices heard on In the Heart of the Beast, Puppet and Mask Theater: Sandy Spieler, Gustavo Boada, Julie Castigar Boada, Diane O'Donnell, Esther Ure, Paul Robinson, Anna Stanley. This is Dixie Treichel for KFAI. Miniculture on KFAI is made possible by the Minnesota Arts and Cultural Heritage Fund.